Action.
Oh, wow. Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two artificial persons who love watching
and talking
movies. On this podcast, we are chatting about the 1986 film Aliens. We've been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
That's me.
35 years later, we're back in the basement.
Russ's basement.
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
Forget people's... No, I don't forget anything.
And most importantly, have fun.
Yay.
This is just another review podcast.
Wah.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Take me to your leader.
Oh, well, this is him. His name is Sean.
Hi.
Sean, this is Alien.
Hi, welcome.
Alien 3645, I think, is his...
That is correct. Affirmative. Nice to meet you, gentlemen.
Nice to meet you. Can I get you a bubbly?
I can't drink liquids.
Oh, no. How do you survive? That's our one thing.
I'm made of milk.
Oh, like pop? Like
give me milk.
Milk with a poppy?
Milk does me body good.
So you're like an android in the movie Alien.
Affirmative.
Interesting. It's soupy milk.
I'm made of soup.
Mushroom cream.
Milk soup.
Cream of mushroom soup. We're talking about the movie Aliens. It
not Alien. Let's clear that up.
Am I saying that?
No. You said it right, but I'm just like, let's clear it up.
Yeah.
Right?
So Aliens is Alien 2.
Correct. Yeah. I like that better than calling, you know, Alien Part 2 or Alien the Next Part or Alien, Hey, I'm Back. You know, they just put an S on it. It was creative.
It should have been Expendable and then Expendables.
Oh.
And then it was just the first Expendable.
Or like Fast and Furious and Fasts and Furiousts.
Right. Or Fast and Fury and then Fast and Furious.
Right. And Fast and More Furious.
Right.
Fast and Infuriating.
More Fast, More Furious. Faster and Furiouser.
I like where this is going. I feel like we could go on all day.
Give us a call, Hollywood.
But let's not. Let's move on.
1986. This was directed by James Cameron.
Nice.
Written by James Cameron, David Giler, and Walter Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It stars some pretty interesting people.
Pretty interesting. Tell us.
Sigourney Weaver
plays
the main character.
And she was in the first one, right?
She was an Alien.
Alien. Right, the Ridley Scott version.
Ridley Scott version.
Right. Oh, that was a 7 years prior to this one, hey?
Yeah. It took the while for the was it Fox?
I believe so, yeah.
For Fox to be like, we should make a sequel. I guess management had to change.
Something had to change. I know.
They always had an idea. The producers always had an idea to do a sequel.
Yeah. James took a crack at writing it. They had a little break before they could start Terminator. James had 9 months prior to starting to shoot Terminator, so he had time to write a film. So they got him to start the writing of a prequel to Alien, which is Aliens now, and he only got about 90 pages in, I think about half the script in, but they loved it so much, the studio did something they don't normally do. They said, hey, we're going to wait for this guy to finish this film, let him finish the script, and if he does well with doing the Terminator, we're going to let him direct this film too. So it was kind of an unprecedented offer from a studio to, you know, normally they can't wait, they're just... Right. Ready to do things, but no, they said, no, let's wait. This guy's got a vision. The script is fantastic. Let's let him finish it and then maybe direct it.
Yeah, and wait for somebody who's maybe not necessarily a proven thing yet. Mm. Like, you know, obviously they were right. James Cameron has made some films and they have been kind of successful.
Like what?
But they didn't know it back then.
What are some other films James Cameron
did? He did a documentary of people just in the water.
Mm.
He did a lot of documentaries about people. I don't know if you know this about James Cameron, but that guy, he loves the water.
He does like water, eh?
He loves everything about the water. He loves the way of the water.
The abyss. He loves the abyssness of the water.
Right. He loves when you're in like a boat, like in the like bottom of the boat and the water just
He likes comes giant in. Boats. Like what's a good word you could give a giant boat?
Boat.
It would be considered
enormous. In an enormous.
No,
boat.
I'm looking like it would be considered
the titular boat. What was that movie where the girl had sex with a car?
Titular. Christine.
Titan.
What? Transformers.
Titanic.
tense.
Oh, do you remember? Do you remember when they were trying?
Wait. I'm going back to the girl having sex with cars. Yeah, what movie is that?
I think it's called Titan or something like that. It was like a couple years old. I don't know if she really had.
Titan?
I think it's called Titan. And it's like it's not an American film, but it was like it was kind of.
It's a Bukkake?
Yeah. I don't think it's called. That's like a lot of cars. That's like a car show.
Oh,
that's like when you go to.
That's a lot of cars in a single garage.
When you
right?
go to a car show, when you're Jay Leno, does a lot of these when he goes, and that's how he got burned. Sigourney Weaver's in this. So this is Alien. This is after Alien 1, obviously, and this is after Ghostbusters, when she had a good role in that. Mm-hmm. But it's before kind of her really taking off and becoming a real big star. There's like after this, she does Gorillas in the Mist and Working Girl and Dave and Galaxy Quest. And oh, wait, one second. What is this movie?
Abadar.
I think it's Avadar.
Avadar.
Avatar. Also, you know who else is in this?
Michael Biehn.
Yeah. I don't think Michael Biehn's ever reached my consciousness before, but when you...
Is he in anything other than James Cameron's
movies? I was going to say, he obviously has a good relationship with James Cameron.
Oh, yeah. He's in The Terminator, The Abyss, this one.
Can I ask, do you have Terminator knowledge on you? In the recess of your mind?
A little bit. Oh, Reese's.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah, Kyle, I like that.
Kyle,
that was good.
Kyle Reese.
See, I knew that enough.
So he's a character in Terminator 1. Mm-hmm. Is he the good guy in Terminator 1?
He is.
Okay. I just remember Terminator 2, Judgment Day, where Arnold Schwarzenegger is, surprise, surprise, the good guy. But in Terminator 1, Kyle Reese is the good guy.
Yeah. And Arnold's the bad guy.
And do you remember Michael Biehn's... Is it Michael Biehn? Is that the guy from Game of Thrones? The Abyss. Do you remember his role in The Abyss? Was that a big role? Big role? Maybe like
it was a pretty big supporting character. Okay. He was a bad guy in The Abyss. He was like a bad sort of military guy sent down, and he tried to nuke the aliens at the end. Hey, he tried to nuke the aliens at the end. That's a running theme with Michael Biehn, eh?
Oh, I think it's a running theme with James Cameron.
Nuke the aliens.
I think James is like, I really like this idea. I'm going to use this forever in every film I ever do.
Yeah. Everything's about getting nuked.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll talk a little about some of the imagery that I think he uses over and over again. Let's
move on.
Carrie Henn, who plays Newt, and I don't think she ever really does much else after that.
No, they scoured. So this was filmed in the UK, and they scoured the UK, I guess, for a little girl. They went through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of auditions and ended up finding this little girl, I think, at a school during lunchtime or something. Yeah. You know, it was one of those.
And so she's a British
I believe so, yeah.
Person.
Yeah, they had to cast a bunch of British people.
Well, it was based on union rules.
Yeah, totally.
United Kingdom.
You know what else was part of union rules that James Cameron did not like during this?
How kids can't work a lot?
No, tea time.
Really?
Yeah, they would stop shooting and a lady would bring in a trolley cart full of tea and James Cameron's kind of like, what the fuck is this all? Oh, there's our swear jar. Sean puts every time I swear.
Lotion in the basket.
I put lotion in the basket.
Okay.
But yeah, no, and it was mandated by UK union rules that they could have tea time.
So
yeah.
It's not, and that's not necessarily meal, it's like tea time.
Yeah, and it's not like lunch break. It's actual like tea time. I don't know how long.
It's second breakfast.
It's probably like 15 minutes mandatory break or something.
What about
like
second breakfast?
What about thirdsies?
Paul Reiser is in this.
Yeah.
I plays Burke.
A young Paul Reiser.
It's always fun to see a young Paul
Mad Reiser. About You. That's what it was in. I didn't do any research because I wanted to try and see if I could remember it, but I couldn't. Mad About You is the show he was infamous for.
Yes, with Helen Hunt.
Right.
And when you, because I was looking through Internet Movie Database to remember, like, when did it start? And it started in 1992. But they've been doing, they did like a reboot of it. Like, it actually went, like, when you, because it's, I was looking around the 90s in the, you know, chronological order of Internet Movie Database, but it's actually up to like, I think there's like the 2002, they did like a reboot of it.
Oh,
I don't know. Not like a reboot.
What's her name?
Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt. Yeah. 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 She went on to do some Oscar caliber stuff after that, didn't she? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean? You're questioning Helen Hunt?
I don't question anything.
She was in that movie Twister with Bill Paxton.
Oh, they're doing a sequel to that, eh?
Oh, is Helen Hunt in that?
I hope not.
What's your problem with Helen Hunt?
I don't know. You like her.
Yeah, I think Helen Hunt's great.
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Pisses you off that I don't like
her. Remember that movie where Tom Hanks is on an island by himself? He's like he's cast off a plane and he's away from civilization.
Right.
Liftoff. Yeah, liftoff. And Helen Hunt bookends that movie.
Right.
She's amazing in that movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you think about
Well, why
that.
Don't you marry her then?
I would like to. She doesn't return my calls. That's a joke.
Who does return your calls, Russ?
You do, unfortunately. You know, Paul Reiser is back in the swing of things with Stranger Things.
Nice.
Have you watched the Stranger Things?
Oh, I love the Stranger Things.
Are you caught up with the Stranger Things?
I've caught up with
Stranger Things. What's that famous song that's now very
running
popular?
On up the hill, running on up the hill, running on up the hill. No, wait. No, isn't it?
I feel like...
My little buttercup.
They sing that.
A callback.
Could you imagine if Stranger Things just broke that out?
I think that'd be great.
I do too.
They love the Dungeons and Dragons. Why wouldn't they love the Three Amigos? Lance Hendrickson.
Lance is in this.
He plays the android artificial person. I don't think that's how they talk.
No, but he should. It'd be a lot more funny.
His character is Bishop. I assumed Lance Hendrickson has been in a lot of films. Like he's someone who you recognize, who you know, who has been around for a long time. But you look at his
repertoire.
Like really, he's in Alien versus Predator.
A lot of B movies, I think.
Alien 3.
He was in the early vampire movie that everybody likes. Dark shit. Dead ringers, doorknobs, doorknobs.
So what do you mean?
Okay, you filibuster this while IMDb.
Filibuster.
Well, just
you know who else is in this?
Talk about
Bill
stuff.
Bill Paxton.
Oh.
He plays Private Hudson in a really kind of, I don't know, for me, an off-putting role. I would, if that was the only thing I knew about Bill Paxton, I'd be like, I could take him or leave him.
I think at first when I was like, oh man, this guy's really annoying. But then when you kind of look at all Bill Paxton's characters in all his movies, he's just an annoying guy. Oh, yeah, like wow. It's just him. But
I feel like when he tones it down again, he's not annoying. Remember when he's
helping
Rose find her locket? In that big, enormous movie? That's a nice... I thought he was a nice guy in that.
Yeah, no, he had a real subtle role in that movie. He directed... Near Dark is the movie he was in. He was also Lance Hendrickson. He was a vampire in Near Dark, but Bill Paxton was in that with him as well.
They're buddies.
Yep. Bill Paxton was in True Lies as well, so I see a running theme.
If you work with James Cameron once, you work with him forever.
Yeah. What's the one he directed?
Except if you're married to him, that's not going to
happen. Did. I forget.
Jim Cameron?
No, Bill Paxton directed a horror movie with Matthew McConaughey and a young... Oh,
filibuster. My little buttercup.
Yeah, Russ is filibustering.
You know, the last person who I'd like to mention that's in this movie is Jeanette Goldstein, who plays Vasquez? Who also is, again, to our running theme, the mom in Terminator 2. Yeah.
Oh, she is.
Think about that. She doesn't last very long.
I just clued that. No, she's the one who, how's Woofy? Woofy's fine, dear. Just tell me where you are. And she's got the... Yeah. Oh, I didn't piece that together till right you told me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Russ.
All right. Well, that's just another review podcast.
And we're done here.
This movie cost $18.5 million but brought in a nice whopping $131
million. That's a pretty good... that's a pretty good return.
Yeah.
Amazing what they were... I mean, I know inflation and all that. You know, they can't do as much with $18.5 million these days. But even back in the day, what they were able to do with $1.8...
The sets.
They only had $1.5 million to build the sets of their budget. And they came up with all those great practical sets.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I like practical sets.
I like practical effects.
Dear Hollywood.
Keep doing practical effects. Thank you, Chris Nolan, for doing... Oh. He does a practical nuclear explosion.
In his new movie, Oppenheimer?
Supposedly.
Oppenheimer?
I don't want to look at too much behind-the-scenes stuff, though, because I don't want to ruin anything, you know?
The nuclear bomb. Oh, did you push a button or did you make that with your mouth? That's the
right
question
in,
of
tell
today. Alien 2 did pretty good critically. Won Best Sound Effects and Editing and Best Visual Effects in the Oscars and nominated
right
for a bunch
so.
More, including Best Actress, Art Direction, Sound Editing, Original Score. I don't think Sigourney Weaver's ever won an Oscar, but you never know. Maybe one day.
You never know. Jamie Lee Curtis probably thought she'd never win one either, and look what happened.
She just had to be everywhere, everything everywhere all at once, and then she would win it.
Well, you ready to talk about this movie?
Let's do it. In the first Alien movie titled Alien, Ellen Ripley,
a.k.a. the lady with cats,
is the lone survivor after encountering a...
You guessed it.
Alien that slowly and methodically kills the crew of space tug Nostromo. 57 years later, Ripley is convinced to head back to the LV-426.
Just when I thought it was out, they pull me back in.
With a squad of colonial marines to check out a terraformer colony that's been in place for 20 years.
It's another bug hunt. It's another bug hunt.
They find the sole survivor, a young girl named Rebecca, or Newt.
Big Newton.
Because we all know kids are easier to work with than cats.
Mostly.
The squad is attacked by aliens. No.
Scratch that, Russ.
Aliens. And Ripley and Newt barely make it out alive.
Great. Thanks a lot, everybody listening. That's been just another review podcast.
I like this, and you like...
Wait.
Seriously, that's all you wrote for this.
I mean, that's the... That's the base of it.
The base
what of else it. What else happens?
Well, you miss like the whole second half of the movie.
Yeah, people die. They fight aliens.
Whatever. Russ, I'm going to take over from now on, all right? Oh, not from now on. No, not from now on. Wrong. I'm not taking on that responsibility. No. From here on out for this episode.
Okay.
Just for the synopsis.
Go for it.
Just for this.
What do I care?
You've got to do the parentheses now.
Okay. Did you write this?
All right. There is a little bit more to this story. Right, Russ?
I have to do things... I have things to do today.
I understand.
I really read that well.
Yeah. Convinced they're in a battle they can't win, the remaining team members call in for an evacuation with a new plan. Nuke the compound from the air.
It's the only way to be sure.
After catching some much-needed Z's...
How could you possibly sleep?
Ripley and Fig Newton awake in a locked med bay with a face hugger that Burke purposely exposed them to.
Corporate greed, everybody.
Mm-hmm. A fire alarm alerts the team.
And the xenomorphs.
Yeah, and the team gets picked off one by one as only a few team members...
Don't worry, the kid is not dead yet.
Not yet, no. As only a few team members make it to the rendezvous location. Pulling an inverted 709er, the pilot crashes the rescue ship after sucking face with an intruding bug.
She probably would have seen it if she wasn't wearing sunglasses.
That's right. Now with only 4 hours left to spare.
The most accurate approximation ever.
The remaining team members must remote pilot a new ship to the surface.
After crawling through a colon.
Before a nuclear reaction occurs. Nuke gets kidnapped.
Maybe cat. That's our easier.
And Ripley must fight the clock to rescue her from the clutches of the Queen Xenomorph.
It's a fight against people.
Russ won't say the B word. It's a B fight. It's a girl fight. Just say girl fight. And her minions.
I don't have to say anything.
Okay. Armed to the tits with a flamethrower and machine gun, Ripley saves the day, destroys the nest, and finally blows the queen out of an airlock.
Second time's a charm.
All before calling it a day in the cryo chamber with her newly adopted daughter.
Cryo chambers are such a great plot, like a good plot device.
Yeah, because the people don't age in cryo chambers. Yeah. They can just kind of like, oh, you've been out in space for 300 years and you haven't aged. 2001
used cryo chambers too?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're just like, well, you know, it takes a long time to travel in space. Well, why don't we just like put them in like cryo chambers?
Isn't it funny that we already have predetermined words for things that don't exist yet?
I think that's like what happened to us.
Cryo chamber, hypersleep, right. Med bay. Well, I guess there are med bays, but you know what I mean? Like, we have all these kind of certain sci-fi words that we all use and are accustomed to, things that don't even exist yet.
And when they do exist, we'll already have a name for them.
Exactly. It's like we're already halfway there.
Give science like a roadmap or just a, like a destination point. Mm. Thank you, Star Trek. What?
Nothing.
Thank.
Yay.
Thanks, star, everybody.
Star things.
Okay, so
Russ is a Trekkie.
I always I watched The Next Generation as a kid. I don't know if I could be called a Trekkie.
Good practical effects in this movie.
Yeah, it.
Hey, we talked about that.
Yeah, we did talk about that. Yeah,
I just want to hit that home. There's some fabulous practical effects in this movie.
I'd like to admit my ignorance right off the bat because I think I've admitted on this podcast before that I watched Prometheus in the theaters and had no idea it was an alien movie.
Right, but that it was linked to the universe. Yeah,
but obviously, if I had ever watched an alien movie, I would have figured it out probably within the first 5-10 minutes because there are things that alien movies do, like they always have some sort of scientific military mission where they got like a mishmash of different characters.
Either a rescue or an exploratory mission, right?
But they always have like a suspicious android.
There's always
like a single suspicious android.
Yeah.
There's the eggs, obviously. You come into like a weird futuristic spaceship or station, and there's always eggs on the ground.
Always eggs.
And I feel like all those things were happening in Prometheus, but I never clued in until... You know,
well, you weren't an Aliens veteran by then.
I wasn't.
That was my draw to Prometheus, was its link to the Alien story.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, cool, a new kind of storyline here, or a new branch of it anyways.
And I kind of want to watch it again.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go and watch Prometheus and Alien Covenant after this, which are sort of, I think, the two precursors.
Is Alien Covenant the one with Winona Ryder?
No. That's Alien Resurrection.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's the only Alien movie I've ever seen.
it's the worst one.
Wait, oh, is it?
Yeah.
I remember Sigourney Weaver's being a lot different in that movie. Like her being
She's like a clone. Badass. Yeah.
Oh,
So yeah, no. So she's got like a, she's got kind of like this military sort of attitude where
she's not really Ripley.
Yeah, I don't really feel that fits her character in like from this one.
But the fact that she's a clone, there's a justification of it.
I guess. They just put her in a hypersleep cryo chamber and said, you know, 500 years later.
However, I did have visual imagery of the whole like mother alien. So like even though I don't recall ever watching Aliens, I did as soon as I saw the whole egg scene with the mother giving birth.
Hatching.
Hatching
is what. Yeah, right. Laying eggs. There you go.
Thank you very much.
At least a couple a day, right? I heard chickens lay a couple eggs every day.
And maybe we should call a chicken farmer.
Beep beep beep. Hello, chicken farmer.
We'll call somebody later.
Hello, chicken farmer. Russ doesn't want to play along.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize this
Shut
was
up!
A scene. I thought we were talking about the movie Aliens.
Whatever. There goes that little...
And scene.
Hello, chicken farmer.
Yes?
I'd like to know exactly how many chickens lay chicken eggs every chicken day.
6 eggs every red moon.
And that's settled then. Thank you, chicken farmer.
So, a lot, you know, good or bad, Aliens, the milky blood. Do you think that's where Westworld got their milky blood?
Yeah,
imagery?
I think, exactly. I think, like, Ridley Scott and the 2001 Odyssey and all of them, they kind of set this precursor up to what humanoids, androids are supposed to be filled with milk. So now every time someone does an android, if they're not filled with milk, it's like, no, people don't buy it. They're like, that's not a real android. He should have milk inside of him.
That's not a real artificial person.
They tried to pull a fast one on me. I know an android when I see one.
Sigourney Weaver is very statuesque, I would say. Mm. Like, she's just got such strong features of her face that if you were back in Athens in 380, and you were carving, if Michelangelo was, because that's when Michelangelo was alive, and he was carving a statue, I would assume that Sigourney Weaver would be like an inspiration for that.
Right. She's pretty, but I'm not attracted to her, though.
Okay, well, whatever.
Well, I'm just saying.
Okay, whatever.
I think that's why I overlooked Sigourney Weaver for a long time.
Yes, she's a beautiful woman, and everyone, your beauty is in the eyes of the beholder.
No, yeah, like that's what I'm saying.
Beauty is subjective.
But yeah, no, you know.
It's okay. Who do you find the most attractive person? Would it be Alyssa Milano in vampire movies?
Yeah, definitely Alyssa Milano in the vampire movies.
Okay. A lot of mother themes. So like in the Alien, the ship was called Mother.
Mm.
And in this one,
you know,
there is a mother.
There is a mother. Newt is looking for a mother.
Yeah. Yeah,
and and Ripley plays a motherly role, right?
Right. So here's
even to the Marines, she sort of becomes their motherly leader by the end of it. Yeah.
So is an alien? Is her character Ripley? Her character has a child at home.
She did.
And so in Aliens, because it's 57 years later or whatever, like her child is now passed.
Correct.
Is that in? Did they talk about that in Aliens too? Or
I believe it was in the script, but it was removed
from the actual.
Yeah, movie. I believe there's a bit of a conversation when she's talking to the corporate heads in that meeting room when they decide to go back, and she's saying, "Listen, you guys are going to end up killing everything and blah, 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 blah. There was a part of a conversation in there that they cut out where they asked her about having a child, and she says, oh, I did have one. And
I think that's a cool link. I wish they had left that in. Or maybe it's just it's still in there, but it's just a lot more subtle.
Maybe.
But I think that's a neat link, and then that's kind of enforces why Ripley bonds so quickly with Newt and why it makes a difference, why she needs to save Newt.
Hmm. I know some links between, not only does Jim use the same actors and stuff like that, but I saw something about Hyperdyne, and I believe that's a company that is also used in the Terminator and all that, too. So I believe he's using similar terminology. Either it's Easter eggs or he's trying to maybe sort of loosely connect his universes together. I don't know if there's been any discussions if the Terminator universe is somehow... I don't think it's linked to the Alien universe.
Do you think if Terminator, Alien, and the Predator fought, who do you think would win? Do you think that Terminator... Because if the Alien universe is linked with the Predator universe, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the first Predator, therefore the Terminator universe could not be linked because Arnold Schwarzenegger...
It can't be two places at the same time.
Right. Yeah, everything, everywhere, all at once.
That's how it is.
I was a big fan of Vasquez in this movie.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen like a Vasquez spinoff.
I thought it was cool. I think Jim originally wrote that. Jim, like, we're on a first name basis, you know, me and Jim.
You and James.
James Cameron originally wrote the character as a man, and then he was like, hang on a second, like, it doesn't have to be a man, and he ended up casting a woman because he thought it'd be really cool.
Way to go, James.
Way to go. Way to be forward-thinking.
And again, like, the visual stuff that James Cameron would repeat over and over again, and again, as I'm looking at this, I'm looking at the loader... The armor machine that Sigourney Weaver gets in at the end of the movie is like, it's basically he's ripping himself off years later in Avatar when those loaders are like a huge part of like the Avatar world. Again, like when James likes a visual, he uses it again and again.
Yeah, he knows what he likes, right? Yeah. And I don't think he cared about the comparison that might be made. He's just say, oh, it looks cool. It's something that I think... they would actually build in the future or whatever, or fits the story or whatever, man. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows where all these stories link? Maybe they
do. I don't think James Cameron is more invested on like technology and like action than he is necessarily on worrying about too much about story and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think he thinks about the camera and what's in front of the lens first and all that kind of stuff, all the pieces, and then his last kind of focus is probably on acting.
Right. Sure. I don't know.
Who recommended? Or, can you tell us why we pick Aliens?
Well, this is a little. I just want to let all the listeners know is if you email us at jarppodcast@gmail.com, you can let us know what movies you'd like us to do, and that's what one listener did. They said, "Hey, Sean and Russ, I really love the Aliens movie. Could you review that?" Hmm. And we said, sure, Jason, person we've known forever and single listener to the JARP podcast. And that's how that worked. So we're going to give Jason a call, see how he's doing.
In our new segment. Let's see if he's home. Let's give Jason a ringy, ringy, dingy. You know what? He's got kids and stuff. Yeah. He's got kids, so who knows? Oh, my goodness. We've got a... Oh, there he is.
I'm on JARP.
You are.
Yay.
I don't have anything planned. You have it all planned. Hi, Jason. Is everything okay? No one's sick today?
Yeah. How's your Sunday going?
Much better than last time you guys checked in.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
Thank God. Yeah. No COVID?
No COVID.
Nice. So you you got us to review Aliens. We're reviewing Aliens right now. We're middle way through it, and before we decide to rate it, we thought we'd get your opinion on it. So why did you decide to for us to pick this movie? What kind of special I don't know feelings do you get about this movie?
What kind of special what does it make you feel?
I mean, really, this movie is something that has just stuck with me ever since day one I watched it. I don't remember the exact age, but I think I was around 10. If I remember correctly, it came out in 86. And so I think I was around 10 years old when I saw it. And man, I have
10 years old. Rated R, Jason.
I have just loved it from day one. My dad was always a huge science fiction guy.
Oh, cool.
Star Trek, Star Wars. even like Red Dwarf. Nice. And like, you know, and obviously the Alien franchise fit right in at and at that time frame. So and so I really just wanted to hear you guys and see what you guys thought of it and how you felt it held up all these years. And yeah.
And you preferred Aliens over Alien.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tricky one. It's kind of like a 1A and a 1B. I feel like they're both near perfect movies, but I think that you can make a strong case that Aliens is probably one of the sequels that is actually better than the first.
Ooh, that's a pretty rare statement.
That's a pretty rare. I mean,
kind of what James Cameron does.
They basically took the first one and they like
be true for Terminator.
Times it by 100. You know, what's more scary than one alien? Well, hundreds of them. And, right.
Good point.
Yeah.
I found with Alien, because I did watch that before I watched Aliens, like they talked a lot about the fact that it was the perfect specimen. And Ian Holm was all like, you can't even penetrate their armor. So it was almost invincible a little bit. Whereas in Aliens, they seemed a lot more, like you know, you could get through them pretty quick. You just shoot them a couple times and they're dead.
They were so able to hold them off in a couple scenes, right? With some machine gun blasts and stuff like that. But, sure, but whatever.
They,
I mean, that's...
Sure they did, but, I mean, they had an elite, you know, Marine Corps, futuristic Marine Corps with, like, you know, all the...
That's true. Weren't the first ones, like, salvagers or something right. like
well,
that?
Well, they're like an oil rig. They're ore collectors. Like, right. They're just, they're,
yeah.
Like,
they weren't military.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think in the first one, I don't even know if they had a hand. I don't even know if they had a gun on board.
They had flamethrowers, probably.
The flamethrower, right. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So you understand our JARP rating system, right?
I do.
If you were to give this a rating, a JARP rating, what do you think you would give it and why?
Well, I mean, it's pretty hard to have a perfect 5 out of 5 movie, but I would say that this is as perfect as you could probably get. And so for me, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5.
A 5 out of 5. Well, wow. Can I ask you, when was the last time you watched this movie?
It's probably been about 3 months back.
Okay. So recently then. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those ones I'll be flipping channels and if it's on, I'll stop and watch it. It's
sorry. What did you just say? If you were what?
He's flipping like, channels.
Oh, what does that
even mean?
Yes,
I don't know.
I still have cable, yes.
You're flipping channels.
Jason still lives in the Stone Age with
I do,
cable.
I do.
He has a home phone Thank line, you, too, I
he,
imagine.
He called us on his rotary phone right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
yes.
Well, Jason, we totally appreciate the recommendation. We enjoyed watching this movie. You're going to have to listen to the podcast in order to get our JARP rating because we got to let you go and move on. But
I'm excited to hear. And it's been fun being a part of it.
Thanks, man. Thanks so much for the recommendation.
Bye, Jason.
Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Love you.
Man, this shit is awesome.
I gave this a 3.5.
Listen, what if someone's never listened to the podcast before?
You seem to like just fucking...
Whoa.
Excuse me. You just
Russ
seem
is
to like,
mad.
You just seem to like quickly brush it through it when you're talking to Jason, your new best friend. So I feel like if you can just brush through it with Jason, we don't need to explain it for Jason. Why do I need to
Do you want us to
now?
Call Rich while we're at it, Russ? Should we call Rich?
He lives right up the street.
We bring him down, he could take my spot sitting right
upstairs.
Here. Whatever.
Maybe he's waiting for me outside to play.
Listen, truce.
This is how it works. We rate our movies out of 5 JARPs. 0 JARPs, which I guess Sean says we don't use, and I don't think we ever have used, but
I don't
could.
Know.
But
I couldn't even get through a 0 movie, I don't
yeah,
think.
Yeah, I guess so. So it's usually 1 JARP, which means, yeah, it was okay. All the way to 5 JARPs where it changed our lives forever.
Forever. And this one changed like Jason's
this
life.
This one changed Jason's life forever when he was 10 years old.
Where was his parents?
I give it a 3.5. I liked it. It was really good, not to sound like a robot here, but it was good practical effects. Jump scares were amazing. You know, James Cameron knows how to make a good action film. I just thought the characters and the acting was kind of weak. The score was really good, too. Mr. James Horner did the score. I quite liked the score. Really good movie. And I feel like I could probably give it a higher one. It's a good movie, but 3.5. I'm going to stick with 3.5.
Okay. That's funny you mentioned the score by James Horner because it was completely non-memorable for me.
Oh, really?
Like, if someone says, like, was humming the theme to the Aliens movie, I would have no idea what it is. And then I'm trying to think of sections throughout the movie where maybe it was brought up, and I don't think so. I mean, because it was just a roller coaster ride pretty much from the beginning.
Yeah.
So
I think it's more about this, it just creating the feel of it. Not like it never overtook you like some movies. The story.
Yeah, I just mean I don't even remember hearing it, to be honest with you. Yeah. But anyways, I'm going to read my rating.
Yeah,
I give it a 3.75 because I used my JARP rating maker. The use of budget, camera techniques, and practical effects helped James Cameron create an epic sci-fi action flick that still stands up to this day. Sigourney Weaver helped steer the way for Girls Can Kick Ass 2, and it was great to see such a successful movie take chances like this. The studio clearly stepped out of the way and let James create his vision, and he delivered movie magic as always. Points were deducted for being a little lengthy and non-memorable supporting cast and musical score. So I gave it, pretty high marks, but then when it came to length, I thought it was a little long. Supporting cast, like you said, like nobody really sticks out other than sort of Sigourney Weaver and even her.
And Lance Henriksen, I think.
Yeah. Is a good job. And even her performance was more just kind of like nice to see an empowering woman take lead and kick some ass kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then the score. Yeah, I was kind of sitting there thinking, I was like, I don't even remember the music and this and that. So, yeah, they got mediocre. So maybe if those things were a little bit better, I might have rated it a little bit higher.
Jason's going to be disappointed.
He is. Don't. Jason, we're really harsh and really mean people. You're really nice.
And I'm happy to watch this again. This is my first
Alien experience.
Memorable experience.
Well, we're going to go on to Prometheus and stuff, and we'll circle back after that.
Should I watch Alien 3?
Maybe, since you've never seen it. I heard that's David Fincher.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's one of his first movies.
Interesting that they get these amazing directors.
Well, I don't. I think he had to. Again, maybe you should pick it, and we can talk about it. But I think he had to do it to do 7, I believe.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
I will watch Alien 3 now, but I will never talk to you about it on this podcast.
Okay. Sounds good.
Here we go.
Are you good?
That's gross.
Are you still mad?
About what?
I don't know. You seemed so mad. You wanted to talk to Jason for longer, and he feels I just kind of brushed him off. But we're trying to make...
You know, I want to talk to Jason longer? Is that what you're
I think inferring? That's what you're mad about. Because did I cut Jason off too quick?
I mean, I think it's good. You want to leave them wanting more.
Right.
The audience is like, more Jason, more Jason.
You're like, keep it tight, right? Yeah.
No, I think it's good.
That's what she said.
This is the...
Why are you so reserved? Like, you won't say bitch. I wrote bitch for us to say on the script, and he wouldn't say it. That's why he stopped.
It's not for me to say.
No, he's not comfortable saying words like this.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I own the swear jar, right?
That's why you own the swear jar, and why you donate to amazing organizations.
Fucking right.
Here we go. This section is called Stargazing. That's where we talk about what we've been watching, what we've been... You know, really looking forward to. Could be a film, could be a television show, could be a book, god darn it.
Ooh.
But it's not a book. I'm sorry.
I don't read.
Sean, what do you... You read instruction manuals.
Both of you know I don't read.
You read instruction manuals.
Canadian heritage moment.
This new Rode device that's recording our podcast. Is that... Am I pronouncing it correctly? Rode?
Yep, correct. Rode. The Rode.
Did you read the instruction manual?
I watched a lot of YouTube videos about it. I did read... their website and all that, but I did...
Because you bought this used, so maybe there was an instruction video manual.
Yeah, not like what you think. I think it's like a one pager. It's like a quick start menu kind of thing.
Apple does that too. You buy an Apple product, and if you'd never used an Apple product, you probably don't know how to use it, but do you think there's an instruction manual on an Apple product?
Nope.
There's nothing. It doesn't even tell you how to turn it on. Also, video games. Not a lot of instructions.
No more instruction manuals. Yeah, I know. I don't know why that is.
I think it's because of the Google.
And it's because of the waste, like, and you can find it all online.
You find it online. Yeah. And probably by the time you create an instruction manual, it's probably out of date, too.
Speaking of video games, how are you doing on your Zelda? Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Kings?
Lord of the Tears of the Kingdom.
Tears of the Sky.
Tears of the Sky, the Underdark, the everything. It's pretty good.
Nice.
It's, you know, just a little bit every day.
A little bit, that's all.
Sometimes
it takes
a couple days to get a break, a couple days.
Yep.
Then you get back into it.
No, that's good.
What are you excited about? What are you watching?
I'm not watching anything exciting. What? I just went and saw Spider-Man with the fam jam.
And you, I've heard great things, and you're going to tell me it's not as great as.
See, why did you already know that? Why do you already know I was going to tell you I didn't like it as much
because
as the first
one? Because you texted me as soon as you watched it, and you
Oh, okay. I did tell you then.
You like painted
okay, it was
the scene
good,
for me in your text
message. And I liked it, but I didn't think it was as good as the first one, in the sense of its energy.
Right.
Aesthetically, it looked beautiful. I loved everything about it. The music was good. The story was great. I felt it was a little bit long for a family movie, and everybody else. I could feel the whole theater got a little restless in the third act. But yeah, I didn't feel it had the same amount of action sequences as the first one. And yeah, I was expecting it to be more action-y, and it was less action-y. And that was
more
action-y. I was just a little disappointed by
that.
Well,
I've heard good things, so...
No. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I didn't like it as much as the first. Someone said, oh, it's way better than the first one.
Oh, who said that?
I'm not going to mention
any
names.
Say it on record.
No, I'm not going to mention
any names. Jason. It was Jason.
It was Jason's kid.
Said, really? Jesus.
Jason's kid. Oh, man.
is the young one?
The young one?
The young kid?
They're both young. Yeah. Oh, his eldest kid. His eldest kid went and saw it and loved it.
Okay. Yeah, I think in general, I don't really listen to kids' reviews. I wouldn't listen to my own review as a kid.
I wouldn't listen to your review.
What's that?
What?
And you know what I saw, which I forgot to mention in the previous podcast.
But you'll mention it now.
But I'll mention it now, is I watched the endings of Succession.
Okay.
And Barry. Okay. Both those series have now
completed.
Mm-hmm. Are you caught up with any of those?
No.
Are you going to ever watch any of those?
Yes.
Okay, so both thumbs up for me.
Okay, I've heard good things about both. So, yeah, eventually I'll make my way through them.
Yeah, Succession's really good.
I do have a problem with Brian Cox, though.
I don't know why you would. Why do you have
I don't
a
know.
With
I just
Cox?
Don't. I think it's probably just a test. I think we've talked about this before. It's just a testament to his acting and his character. I just don't like him. You know what I mean?
Because you don't like his character.
Yeah,
character
I never things. Liked his characters. Yeah.
Like he's good, but you just don't like that character.
Yeah, I guess. And okay. It's kind of like, you know. You don't like hanging out with someone. You don't want to be around them.
True.
So I don't like
spending
really,
a lot of time with these
I don't
people.
Really like watching them.
The people that are in Succession are not very nice.
Right.
They're not nice people.
No. It's not a story about nice people, is it?
No.
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 Is it have a happy ending?
No.
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 No. Not at all.
Kind of controversial ending?
No. No. It's no. Not, you know, it's not happy. It's fine.
Does it need its own explanation?
No. I mean, there's lots to talk about, but they get what they deserve, you know?
Oh.
Not to spoil
it. I imagine they all go to jail then.
They all
tax
go
evasion.
To jail.
What are you watching other than Succession endings and Barry endings?
Well, Yellow Jacket season 2.
Did you finish it?
Ended, yeah.
I haven't started it yet.
Oh, fine. I guess we can't talk about it.
Well, no, we can't talk about it. No.
I'd like to hear your thoughts because I think I'd like to talk about
okay, I'll
how
get
we
on
felt
it.
About Yellow Jackets season 2 versus season 1.
Perfect. I'll get on it then.
And I finally watched 2002.
T-A-R.
Tar.
Tar. With Cate Blanchett?
I'm still processing. Yeah, Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett.
Right. Cate Blanchett. I'm still processing.
Mm.
Still processing. But it's a film.
You're just trying to decide whether you liked it or not?
There's a lot going on. Yeah, no,
Can you elaborate?
It's very thought-provoking. There's, like, relevant aspects to it that it's very topical, but it's very artistically intense.
Does it make you think about things you don't want to think about?
No, I don't think so.
Or is it like, I'm watching this character and rooting for a character that I shouldn't be rooting for?
Well, definitely there's that.
Okay.
And there's like a lot of interpretation to what's happening and what is real and what is not real. And maybe it's all real, but I think it's one of those ones where you could probably do multiple viewings and get something out of it every time.
Oh.
And so I will watch it again. And I recommend you watch it and then we'll talk about it later.
Tar.
That's 2002's. Todd
Tar.
Fields.
Tar. Okay. Tar. I tried. Mm-hmm. Again, I tried.
Okay.
I don't know why, because I heard it's horrible.
What does Yoda say about trying?
I don't know. There is no try, just do.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. Robert Rodriguez and Ben Affleck's new one called Hypnotic.
I haven't heard good things.
Yeah, don't even bother. I made it 10 minutes in and I turned it off. I tried watching a little bit of Fast X. The neck again. Sure. I made it about 10 minutes in, and I turned it off. I can't. Vin Diesel trying to get everyone to take him seriously. Yeah.
Everything take me seriously. It's all about family.
It's no Howard's End.
It's horrible. So those two you can probably just skip right over.
What are these other ones you got? I don't understand.
Oh, you know what NOES stands for?
Noes?
It's an acronym for a really old horror movie.
Oh, Never Open External Staircase.
Exactly. You're really close. Nightmare on Elm Street. Okay. I don't know why I went down the rabbit hole. I just fired up number 5.
And when would a 5 come out?
Mid-90s when 3D was just coming out. Oh,
Freddy Krueger in 3D.
Yeah, there was all these weird, really idiotic camera shots, and I was like, what's this all about? And then halfway through I figured, I was like, oh yeah, you know, they're playing with the gimmick of, you know, the audience in the theater probably trying to touch these things, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, this was the 3D one, this is bad. Roseanne Barr has a cameo in it. Roseanne and Tom Arnold when they were married. They have like a husband and wife cameo.
Do they die?
No. Those movies are just comical. I don't know. I was talking to Jason about it. I don't know why I was so scared of them as a kid. I think I was just scared of the character Freddy Krueger.
Well, the idea you go to bed.
Yeah, I mean, that's scary enough that's as scary. A kid that you're going not, to bed you're not safe in your bedroom.
And then suddenly you're going to have dreams where you might die?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of scary.
My dad never understood. He always got so mad when I got, Freddy Krueger, what do you know? I was like, Freddy's going to come get me.
People can actually burn, Dad.
Yeah, people die in their sleep.
People can put gloves on. With nails and knives on them. Have you ever seen Edward Scissorhands? That's why I kind of got freaked out. I got freaked out about Edward Scissorhands as a kid.
Well, Tim Burton movies are kind of freaky in nature.
So I think it's just the idea of like long fingernails. Mm. That's why I keep them trimmed.
Trimmed and tidy.
What's this Duggar family thing?
The Duggar, you know, the Duggar family? 19 kids and counting or whatever. You know that crazy friggin' family that has as many kids as God will let them have? And they don't believe in birth. No, they just had
The movie? What's the show called?
The show on TLC or whatever.
It's called 19 Kids and Counting?
Was. Yeah.
Was. Now they're all
But there. Now Prime's got this investigative documentary behind the scenes of the Duggar family.
Oh, really?
And just all the controversies behind them and how batshit freaking crazy they were, man. Oh,
interesting.
It's like this part of this cult and stuff like that. Because
is that a religious element of
what like a serious cult religious element to it. Yeah. Well,
she might not have a choice. She just got to keep on.
I'm only through children. The first episode, but yeah.
Like, so far, so good.
It's interesting. I mean, I already knew that this family was batshit crazy.
Because they had 19 kids?
Well.
I mean, that's crazy.
I mean.
You know what's crazy?
And he called gave them all a name with J.
Like, they all start with J.
Yeah. Like
Jesus.
Jesus, Jeremiah, Jehovah. Jebediah.
Interesting.
Remember Jebediah, the tapeworm that would eat your beer?
Sorry, where am I?
Never mind.
Is that Freddy? Is that,
I think that's maybe something only Jason and Matt might understand.
Why don't you talk about Jason a little bit more?
Well, if Rich was here, I would.
This is called Random Movie Trivia Game, or...
Random movie trivia game.
I like that better. That's where
you didn't give me a chance, Steven. You just went right ahead and brushed right through it.
I feel like we've already addressed this. Leave them wanting more. Where we get to ask 4 questions each, questions we've never seen before. If Sean gets the most right, he wins. And if I get the most right, which has been kind of happening recently,
I think you're on a tear here.
I'm in a 2-game
tear. No, I think you've had 3 in a row now.
Wow. I mean, only Matt would know.
Only God would know.
Which is
Matt.
Pretty similar. do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Well, you win, you pick.
Okay. I would like to go first. Please ask me first.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Yes. I like this so far.
In the film Scrooged, who plays the Scrooge-like character?
Bill Murray. Oh, sorry, I should have taken my time there. I'm not wasting any time here.
Okay.
Here goes, Sean.
Correct. In
Finding Nemo, what is the shark's motto? I wouldn't know this. In Finding Nemo, which I believe is a Pixar film, computer animated, what is the shark's motto? What would a shark say? What the shark say?
I got munchies.
Fish are friends, not food.
Fish are friends, not food.
That's what the sharks say.
Fuck this game, man.
The sharks say.
Oh, my God. Like you, I,
dude, you see me take these cards.
I did. I was just gonna say, there's no way that you just randomly picked this, but I guess you did, and I hate you for it. Okay, who directed the first Terminator movie?
Oh my God, I think your first name basis with this gentleman, James Cameron.
That's correct.
What 2018 movie sees an all-female crew attempt a daring heist at the Met Gala? What 2018 movie sees an all-female crew attempt a daring heist at the Met Gala? Oh, man, I'm so sorry.
Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
God, I'm so sorry. Ocean's 8.
Oh, what the fuck?
Oh, man. The third question is always Oscar related. I'm
that was the second question.
I know, but I'm already.
Oh, you're setting yourself up.
Always
okay.
Never look back.
Okay, Matt, this is for you. What was the first Shakespearean tale made into a film by Kenneth Branagh?
Much to do about nothing. Much to do about nothing.
Are you sure?
Oh, fuck. I thought that's what he was in that movie. One that he did. Yeah, I mean, I guessed that. So, like, this is my. Is it Hamlet?
Oh, it was Henry V.
Henry V. It was one of those Henry ones.
Okay, well, it's still anyone's game?
No.
Wait, you two.
I've got two. You've got one. You've gotten zero.
Zero. All right.
Here we go.
Dude, I'm picking the cards next week.
Fine, that's totally fine.
Okay.
The line, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore, is from what film?
Oh, jeez.
The line, I'm as mad as hell.
Mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Oh, my gosh. Is that your Al Pacino?
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
That might be more like it.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I'm not a crook.
Mad as hell, and I ain't gonna take it anymore.
Gosh.
Wait, what? From what movie?
Yeah, what's the movie called? That's it.
Dog Day Afternoon.
No. The movie is called Network.
Mm.
It's a 1976 film, Network. I'm looking it up right now. It's not that I'm actually knowing this stuff.
I'm doing horrible.
I would have not been able to answer any of these questions either. I'm so sorry.
You're not sorry, though. Let's get on with this. Yeah. What Star Trek veteran played... Jeez. What? You're right, Russ. You're right. It is that. What Star Trek veteran played Professor Charles Xavier in X-Men? Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say.
I slipped.
Make it so, Captain Picard. obviously,
oh shit, he doesn't know his name.
Obviously, name is. This is in our intro where we forget actors' names. Captain Luke Picard.
Oh, this is good. This is good.
He was in the movie Excalibur.
He was good. Who's good?
He's a English actor, Sir, not Ian McKellen, who they're actually good friends. But this is Sir Patrick Stewart. Oh, thank you.
You are so lucky.
Oh, I was going to get there. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I just had to say Sir. Sir Elton John. Sir Ian McKellen.
Okay, well, you've won. I'd like to just at least see what I can do here.
To you.
We finish all the questions here.
Yeah, of course. We're finishers.
We do.
What three rules must be obeyed?
It's just where do we finish?
Yeah.
Okay.
What three rules must be observed if you own a Mogwai as a pet? Right? Is that the pronunciation of Mogwai?
Mogwai.
Yeah. What three rules?
Okay. Don't eat after midnight.
Yeah.
No water.
Yeah.
And
this is the one I probably wouldn't remember because we watched this movie.
Recently. Sunlight. They're
No, I'll give it to you. Yep.
They are light. Okay. Light. They're sensitive to light.
Yes, sensitive to light. And that movie is.
Gremlins 1 or 2, The New Batch.
Wow. I mean, I am on a tear. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Mom, for coming. Really appreciate it. Hey, I didn't see you there. Hey, everybody.
It's four in a row. I think I've been officially dethroned now. I don't think it's safe to say that I have any advantage or have won more than you. I say...
Well, we'll see next time.
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe we should start keeping count.
We're doing Bloodsport.
Oh, that's right. We already know what we're doing next. We're doing Bloodsport.
Another recommendation from a listener.
Yeah, so David.
We'll give David a call next time.
Oh, better be ready, David. I hope you're up on your martial arts and your Jean-Claude Van Damme. Right?
All right, buddy. I love you, man.
I love you, too.
Take care.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. Sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
He's still mad. He's still mad about it.
I'm out of here. I'm not talking.
Rich, can you come help this guy?